So Barbara then calls the president.
Right.
And says, this is a joke. So people say to me, when did you know you finally made it? I said, when I entered a shame spiral involving the president of the United States, Barbara Streisand, and David Foster. Oh, that's when I knew I made it.
That's a great story.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Literally. My buddy of almost 30 years, the musical genius and his beautiful wife, David Foster and Catherine McPhee, are with me. If you were listening to the radio at all from, I'm going to say, 1979? No, he goes back earlier than that. To Be Real with Cheryl Lynn, big hit. Mid-70s to today. You grew up on David Foster's music, and we'll get into what that is. And of course, Catherine McPhee, just a beautiful, talented, amazing singer, actress from American Idol and many, many other projects. Anyway, they're with us. It's going to be fun. I made them bring a piano. Let's go. Foz, we're in the studio together. I love it. Anytime
I
can get in the studio with you, it's the best.
I love it.
You know what? I'll just be a fly on the wall here. Okay?
No, I mean, this is a tough one because David and I known each other for so long.
That's all right. I'll just remember that I was nothing more than a seed, you know?
You weren't even a seed. Yeah, no. You were like a thought.
No,
of
she was born. Just born.
When we met?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
84.
So cute, you guys.
84. That's right. We met in 1984.
It's coming up on 40 years.
You know, I saw John Parr yesterday over Zoom. Uh-huh. He was having lunch with my agent, Richard Weitz.
Oh, yeah.
At Johnny Parr, Man in Motion. He's still a man in motion.
Oh, he's amazing.
He's my agent, too, just so you know.
Richard Weitz.
Yeah. Man in motion. He's a man in motion.
Are we rolling or are we?
This is it.
Oh, this
we
is
go
it.
In. Well, there's
okay.
It's cashy mash.
Well, I'm going to say one thing and then we'll get it off the table. Mm-hmm. Robin, I met. I scored the movie St. Elmo's Fire. Rob, of course, starred in the movie and he was a young buck. But let me tell you something. Movie stars are quirky, mm-hmm. you know, and they don't really necessarily pay attention to people like me. Rob Lowe, because he loves music so much, we bonded. He was so amazing. He agreed to be in the video and that struck a 40-year friendship. And it's just kind of unusual, but much appreciated.
Oh, and same. I remember vividly the day I came into the studio. I don't know why I came in the first place, but I did. And you played me the St. Elmo's Fire theme, the love theme.
Yeah.
To picture. I mean,
yeah.
Bro.
It worked.
Yeah.
It worked.
You guys must have been some serious studs. That's all I got to say. I mean, you guys are still hot, you know, but I'm just saying.
Yeah. Well, coming
good.
From you, we will take it. David and I had many a late night mm-hmm. with Wayne Gretzky.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But never up to anything terrible.
No, because you were in one of your 17 marriages always.
And cut to Cat.
And Cat. You got it right.
You know what? It's okay. I was there for a few of them, so.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was there for all of them.
You really were.
I really
well,
was.
Well, not the first one.
Did you
no,
go?
No, I was.
Hey, no, you weren't.
You weren't at our wedding, so were you there for all the weddings?
I was there for, the only wedding I was there for was Yolanda.
Yeah, I was invited to that one, but I couldn't make it.
Listen, this just speaks to David as a producer. His wedding he did with Yolanda, I still want a recording of
everybody that performed.
I want the orchestral, like sitting down music.
Oh yeah.
Was so sick.
Yeah.
Full orchestra.
Bill Ross.
Everybody's just getting seated and
you
talking.
Had Bill Ross do your freaking wedding? Oh my gosh, that's crazy.
No, it was all his amazing.
Well,
music.
I have a funny story to tell you because David was actually at my first wedding.
What?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I and my then new husband we got married in a church and David was there on the left side. One of the mm-hmm. last people I saw as I went up to the altar. I had an amazing gospel choir sing throughout the church, the ceremony. And it was really beautiful.
It was
the best part of the ceremony. And it was
the best part of your marriage. Oh, sorry.
Gosh. Horrible. Okay, so, but anyway, it's funny. Just want to take a little credit because I didn't go to your wedding with Yolanda because I didn't live in LA at that time. Mm-hmm. But you told me that you stole the idea from my wedding.
No. The gospel choir,
yes.
Yeah.
No.
Yes.
It's true.
I remember people saying like, oh yeah, that gospel choir you had, David. And I'm like, oh, you had a gospel choir, did you?
But anyway, moving on.
But that was a great.
Rob, so far you're terrible.
What? No. This is what people want.
Isn't this a good, aren't those good stories though?
We're just going to be in game. And this is going to be a little bit of picking on David. Just a little bit.
Okay.
Just a little bit.
Okay.
I know that I've elaborated this story a little bit. I've stretched the truth a little bit. I talk about it in my one-man show, but my favorite move ever is the Man in Motion, St. Elmo's Fire theme. David was so busy. This is my version of the truth,
okay.
And you can tell me how much it's true. David is so busy. He's so in demand. He's working with Chicago. He's working with the Tubes. He's working with everybody, and he's... You know, and he's Mr. Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he is. At one point, we thought he was going to run for Prime Minister of British Columbia.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that era?
Yeah, the Premier of British Columbia.
The Premier,
yeah.
Yes. I think you should still.
Yeah.
And you've been knighted?
Exactly.
Right?
It's the Order of Canada.
The Order of Canada.
Oh, boy, do I ever know. He tells me every morning.
It's a big deal.
I do know.
I have three friends who've been knighted. Yeah. Warren Michaels, Mike Myers, and you.
Excellent. It's a big honor.
No, it's a huge honor.
Yeah.
So he's busy, is my point. And he's very Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And there is this young man who is going to be on he's wheelchairing across Canada.
The world, actually.
The world.
Yeah, Rick Hansen, the world.
Jesus Christ, I didn't
25,000 miles.
25,000 miles. An amazing accomplishment to raise money. And David's going to write a theme for him. He's also going to write a theme for my movie. He doesn't have a lot of time. So he basically just writes one song for both.
It's true.
And if you really listen to the lyrics.
That's so you.
Yeah.
The lyrics of St. Elmo's Fire is about a group of college kids, period. That's
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Lyrics for Man in Motion is.
About a wheelchair athlete.
A wheelchair athlete mm-hmm. going across the world.
Right.
That's nothing to do with St. Elmo's Fire or anything else.
It's John Parr's lyric, not mine. John Parr wrote the lyric.
Oh, he did?
Yes, he did.
And apparently,
brilliantly.
And so if you ever listen to that song, realize it's not about anything having to do with the movie. And apparently having the phrase St. Elmo's Fire in a lyric is not easy.
Right.
Impossible. So that's why we stuck it on the end of the chorus. Da 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 da. St. Elmo's Fire means nothing.
You just threw it in.
Yeah, it means nothing.
It could have been Jabberwocky.
Yeah.
And did you think people were going to buy it?
That was a song, although it went to actually number one, which is a hard place to get to. That was a song that I didn't think was a hit. And I was really wrong.
It went to number one.
Number one.
And you know what?
In many countries.
And do you know what beat us out the next weekend?
No.
Because I'm very competitive?
No.
Another fucking Canadian's, Michael J. Fox's movie, The Back of the Power of Love.
Oh.
Huey Lewis. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That's a great song too.
Yeah, it is. It is. And we love Huey.
And we love Huey.
Yeah.
Kat, when you were growing up, what was your favorite Foz era song? Because one of my favorite things is I'll be driving and I'll go, yeah. Oh, you know, and I'll turn to Cheryl, my wife, and go, listen to the radio, and I'll go, oh, you know about it? This one's just, I know David wrote it, right? She's like,
oh, that's so cute.
Cheryl, we love her.
So
Cheryl.
I'm a 90s kid.
Yeah.
So like for me, it was all the
Celine.
Like Celine and R&B stuff, like stuff you did with Brandy and Monica. Mm-hmm. I didn't really know the 80s stuff until I met David, which was back in 2006. I was a contestant on American Idol. And then we started doing like events together, charity events together. And so he would always do his like little songs of hits that he had in like a rapid fire version.
Yeah.
And so that's when I started to learn all the, you're the meaning and you're the inspiration. And
you're the inspiration is the sickest.
Yeah. But it's all good. That was in the 80s, right?
Yeah.
So I don't think I would know my parents.
You weren't alive.
Okay.
Well, I was alive.
No, Foz, you weren't alive for that song.
Foz, you got a piano right in front of you.
Yes.
I have to ask you to go to the piano. Okay. Why is Chicago's You're the Inspiration so great? And why do even kids today love it so much?
Well, it's one of the few songs I've written that's sort of easy to sing.
Hmm.
You're the meaning. They want me to sing it?
Yes.
You're the inspiration. Bring feeling to my life. You're the inspiration. This is the part I change the lyrics. I want to have you, baby.
Oh, yes.
I want to have you hear me sing. And no one needs you more than I need you.
Ooh, nice lick.
Thank you.
Wow. And let's give credit to Peter Cetera. I mean,
but do you like how I...
That voice.
When we were dating, I was like, I want to have you, baby.
I want to have you. That was sick. How'd that sound in there?
That sounds great. This is great patch you got up on the piano, man.
Hey, thanks, man.
Little
you know
wispiness
me.
Behind it.
Well, isn't there a patented David Foster sound?
There is, actually.
There is, isn't
it? Comes
there?
Up on a lot of keyboards. Yeah, it's called the Fossified.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
What is it called?
Well, someone, I think Yamaha calls it Fossified.
What?
And Roland calls it the Foster. Or,
no, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, and that was very close
to
it.
Yeah, very close.
Don't you think?
Yeah, very close. But not it.
Not it.
No.
There was a time where I was going to be doing some recording and doing whatever, and David saved me $500,000. You probably don't even remember this. When I was going to buy a Synclavier.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
I was going to buy
an idiotic move because you were just... It was an idiotic move.
Yeah.
By the way, you've saved a lot of friends from buying idiotic, expensive pianos.
Yeah.
I remember it vividly. Stevie Wonder had just had an album. It was entirely Synclavier.
Yeah, I mean, but it's so complicated, Robin. You're not that you couldn't figure it out, but why would you spend your life trying to figure out this in clavier?
Well, I wasn't going to. I was going to have somebody else do it. But then that technology became free, basically free.
Punch a button.
Within 2 years.
Yeah. Well, 10 years.
Yeah.
Rob, how is your life, how chaotic, when I think of your life and I think of all the, you've done more successful series than anybody I know. I mean, I see you in a fireman's hat. I see you in a suit. I see you in the Oval Office. I see you.
Like, I know.
So many. I'm just wondering, how truly chaotic is your life?
Do you just love to work though, right? I mean.
I love to work. Yeah, I have a huge work ethic.
Mm-hmm.
But
a lot of people do. I mean, but they don't do exactly everything that you do.
True. But I have a lot of different curiosities. Like I love talking to people,
mm-hmm.
right? So that's why I do this. And I love bringing out a side of people that maybe, you know, folks wouldn't have seen, but for the fact, I mean, how would you know about the Synclavier story?
Right.
You know, and how would you know about, we have so many stories to get to.
But when you go to bed at night, is your brain just so scrambled that you can't sleep? Or
No. I sleep like
a baby,
like an Olympian.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Like, oh yeah. If it were an Olympic sport, I'd be Michael Phelps of sleeping.
Wow.
I get a lot of sleep too.
And when
do you wear the ring?
I don't wear the ring.
I don't either.
I don't wear the ring. I do wear a sleep mask. I know you've got, I see you have
But you also probably don't wear a ring because you know when you got a lot of sleep.
Oh, I know.
I'm the same. And he loves to wear the ring.
I
want to know if I slept good.
No, but don't you just know?
Wake me up if I'm sleeping well.
Yeah, right.
Exactly.
Let me know if I'm.
So in other words, you don't wake up exhausted.
Mm-mm.
No, you do.
No,
I do.
You have it's in your genes to wake up tired.
I know.
And your daughters, by the way, say the same thing. They're like, we're always tired. We're just like my dad.
I can feel grumpy and like, I do sometimes do that, but I would recommend more work, more sleep.
Yeah.
Less work.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, wait, we have so much. Okay, so let me, another great Foz story. So you know that, I don't know if you know that David is, how do I put this? Not a huge fan.
What do I not know about my husband?
Of three chord rock and roll. He just isn't. He may not admit it publicly. I know he's not.
Right.
He's nodding.
No, that's true.
I'm not a big fan of it either.
No.
It's true. This is we're in SiriusXM, bro. There's classic rock right down the studio.
Right.
There's yacht rock. By the way, yacht rock. I'm assuming you've been on yacht rock channel.
What's yacht
of
rock?
Yacht rock is my kind of music, the kind of music I made.
Oh, yeah.
I
love
mean,
your kind
isn't
of
isn't it?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
So I would always be talking about Bruce Springsteen or this mm-hmm. or that, and David would just be like, no, please. And when David did Tears Are Not Enough,
mm-hmm.
which is the...
I don't think I know that song.
No, the Canadian anthem of the Canadian equivalent of We Are the World.
Oh, I love that song.
Yeah, it's a good song.
Yes. Voices that can...
No, that was Voices. That was a different thing.
That was another one. David's got... if it's a Canadian anthem of any type, David did it.
But that one was really good.
But I know the story you're going to tell, I think.
Yeah. And you have one of my favorites I just saw, by the way, at the Roxy, Neil Young.
Famous Canadian.
And,
I know who he is.
Yeah. And Neil, David also has, as you know, perfect pitch.
Yes. Well, he used to.
Oh, really?
That's another story.
And tell them this. You have Neil in the vocal booth.
Neil in the vocal booth, and the cameras are rolling. And, you know, when you're doing a big hoopla like that, we had Oscar Peterson there, and Joni Mitchell, and Anne Murray, and Bryan Adams, and every Canadian star that ever was at the time we had. And the cameras are rolling, and so you forget that the cameras are rolling. You just want to do a good
job.
You're
just doing your job.
Yeah, and I'm was a hothead, you know. I was like, you know, a perfectionist. And Neil Young, I didn't know a lot about him, sadly. I do now, but but he was just like singing so out of tune. I was like, Neil, can we try one more? You got to like lift up on the pitch, but you're a little flat, right? And the cameras are, and people are like, don't say that. It's Neil Young. He's royalty. And Neil goes, yeah, man, that's my sound. And so that was that. He sang out of tune.
Yeah.
That was that.
That's my sound.
That, yeah, it is, man, kind of amazing how people, it's just a thing. You would have, by the way, his band didn't know when to stop the song, start. So they literally did not know.
He probably respected it, right?
No, I don't think
he did.
I don't think he gave a shit about me then or now.
Okay.
That's probably true.
Is he still alive?
Yeah. Okay. He just saw him.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, he's
just saw him at the Roxy.
That's very funny.
Yeah.
Now, have you read Barbara's book yet? Barbara Streisand's book.
We looked at it yesterday in the bookshop. I should have bought it.
We were just at Barnes & Noble yesterday. We didn't, but you know what we did read? Is the Britney Spears book.
Is David in the Britney Spears
no,
book?
No. We didn't actually finish the last, like,
I
chapters,
wouldn't be in there. I don't
but
know.
But we loved it. We thought it was great.
I thought it was great.
No, but we have to read the Barbara. Yeah. But you know, also David can just pick up the phone and call Barbara whenever he wants.
Well,
so there's
David.
That.
This leads,
maybe I should get her to read to me.
You know, this leads me to, and I'll make it very, very quick.
Did you read the book?
Not yet. And I'm going to listen to Barbara. I've heard excerpts of Barbara reading it, and what's amazing is how she really takes
her time.
Her time.
Oh boy!
And the book is very long.
900 pages.
900 pages.
No,
is it? Barbara, you pace it up a little bit.
Yeah, but you know that's her. You know that you would expect that from her.
So I
expect that for her to talk slowly?
No. You expected her book would be 900 pages. She's had a long life and she's very detailed. And so it makes sense that she would go into detail with every story. You know, that makes sense.
This is going to be one of those interviews where people are like, yeah, David and Kat on, he made it all about you. I'm sorry. But there are stories.
Well, you know Barbara.
That you're a part of. And I know Barbara. And one of them, when I do my one-man show, I always end...
Which I've seen and loved, by the way.
It's fun, right?
Yes.
And you were
loved it.
You were so sweet.
Loved it.
I end it always with this story, which I'm going to truncate. But basically, it's, you know, David and I have a gag that we do. Describe the gag we like to do.
We like to do St. Elmo's Fire, theme.
Doesn't he play it?
Yeah, and Rob can mimic the love theme saxophone part perfectly, down to the breathing, down to everything. It's perfect.
But it's not real.
It's not real. Right.
No, there's a guy behind a curtain playing it.
People really believe it's you.
Oh, yeah.
People who should really know better believe it. So the one time I really remember, I look out in this audience.
Michael King's house.
Michael King's house.
Square tables outside.
Outside, I remember.
President Clinton.
And I look out and my whole thing was, I'm going to do this thing. I'm going to fake it. And then halfway through, stop playing and everybody will laugh. But I look out and I see President Clinton doing the Wayne's World "We're Not Worthy" gesture to me.
And Barbara.
And
they were that into it.
Oh no, beyond. And I'm like, and then my actor's ego kicked in. And then I was like, fuck this. I'm gonna ride this horse all the way to the barn. And I come off the stage and Cheryl Lowe looks at me like, you idiot. Yeah. And
you could go to jail for this.
So I'm super excited about it, but feeling really guilty at the same time. Oh, and Quincy Jones. Quincy Jones is, I'm telling you, within five, give me some of that St. Elmo's Fire.
Oh, yeah. If Quincy was.
Play this while I tell the story. It's great. And Quincy Jones is standing right in front of the bell of the sax. There's no air coming out of it.
Right.
None. There's nothing coming out.
Still,
and Quincy Jones is yelling, I'll never forget, he was yelling, blow, Rob, blow. And
blow, Rob.
Blow, Rob, blow. Wait.
This is a really great story.
Here.
Go, Rob.
It's too high now. It's too high. Well, that's the key.
I know. That's too high. I could have done the first part.
Blow, Rob, blow.
Blow, Rob.
Blow, Rob, blow, blow.
And so I feel guilty. And I'm thinking, fuck it. What am I going to do? It's over now. I can't ever redo. And then I get a letter from President Clinton.
No, stop it.
Yes. I get a letter from President Clinton saying, I had no idea you were such a good saxophone player.
Right. As a saxophone player myself.
Yes. And he says, and please, I want to invite you to the White House. And I want
to do a concert.
I want to do a duet with you. Oh my God. I have an invitation to come to the White House to do a duet. I don't really play. President Clinton thinks I do. Now what?
Now what do you
I call David. I go, David, I think we have
a
problem.
Do you remember the call?
Yeah, of course. Houston, we have a problem.
I go, Houston, we have a problem. Bill Clinton thinks I'm a real saxophone player and wants me to come to the White House. And David goes, no. Don't worry. I just solved it. I told Barbara it was all a joke. And now I'm like, and then so Barbara then calls the president
right.
and says, it's a joke. So when people say to me, when did you know you finally made it? I said, when I entered a shame spiral involving the president of the United States, Barbara Streisand and David Foster.
Oh,
that's
gosh.
When I knew I made it.
That's a great story. Blow, Rob, blow, blow.
Why don't you tell everybody about the time you talked me into flying up on your private plane to Canada?
Well,
you had a private plane?
Early.
No, I chartered it. We chartered it.
I was a joke.
He's still trying to get that plane.
He is.
Aren't
still,
we all?
I know.
No one's tried to get that plane harder than Foss.
No. Nope.
Nobody I know.
It's true.
Literally, this guy, it's all
this
about.
Is obsession.
It's all about.
What did
the
I
airplane?
Just say to you this morning about private plane? So I'm taking a private plane back to Chicago tomorrow.
He's taking a private plane.
Because it was part of the situation
the
to get me
here.
Yeah,
of course.
Yeah.
And so I said to her, well, you tell her tell Rob what I said.
No, I think you were talking about the money, the $1 million a month tax.
No. I was talking about just the actual ride. I said, how about if I fly commercially tomorrow to Chicago and I'll bank that trip so that you and I can use it
and
for somewhere
I said,
else?
I said, no, babe, you cannot. You need to take this by yourself. I said, I will be fine no matter like which.
Good wife.
He's earned the right.
Yeah, good you life. Need to take that private flight.
Well, I unfortunately did the early version of this and—
Oh, you mean it was a Lear 25.
It was Lear 25. We're flying.
They don't fly anymore, the Lear 25.
Well, they barely flew that time.
I just want to say to the audience yes. who maybe don't know this about David. David not only loves the luxury of private aviation, as everyone does, but it's beyond that. David is obsessed with airplanes. So
I know.
He knows everything.
He's a pilot.
He's a pilot.
Was,
yeah, was a pilot. And knows how the mechanics work and knows, like, he'll say, what plane are you on? And I said, I don't know. And then I'll tell him, like, oh, the windows are, he'll know what plane it is. So I just want that to be a disclaimer that it's not that you're obsessed with like, the luxury of it. Yes, but also.
I think you flew with me once in my twin prop job. No,
I did. Is that the one you crashed?
No, it was a different one.
Okay.
But anyway, we took this Learjet. So when I started my foundation, I wanted to start off with a bang. So I called all my famous friends.
This is like 1985?
Yeah. Mm. Wayne Gretzky.
I was one.
Amazing.
I know.
So depressing.
I know. I can't wait till she turns 40. It's going to happen in 3 months. I can't.
You going to come to the party, Rob?
Yeah. Okay. Hell yeah.
Can't wait. My wife's in her 40s. Finally, I can say that.
Yes.
Anyway, Rob Lowe, Alan Thicke, Wayne Gretzky, and me, the four of us, in a Learjet.
Like at the height of the Brat Pack.
I've
Almost
actually
Park.
Seen the picture of Edmund, you all. It's, yeah. And it's cute.
It's great.
Photo.
And
it's
all
a great
of us
photo.
In our sweats.
Yeah. Gretzky from the height of the Edmonton Oilers.
Alan Thicke killing it on the TV show.
Y'all look
show.
Really yeah. hot. Yeah. Not going to lie.
We get in this Learjet. We're landing in Victoria. And I'm up front on my knees where I always am just watching because I love it. Wayne Gretzky hates to fly. He's so nervous. But he's drinking a lot on the plane just to get over the nerves. I look at the pilot. He throws the gear down and no green lights come on.
Mm.
And all of a sudden they start scrambling. And I was like, I started, even me. It
with
was
all
like,
your friends.
Yeah, I was like, oh shit. First of all, I'm never going to get mentioned in this crash because there's, you know, it's going to be.
Well, we had a whole discussion about it.
Yeah.
We decided, everybody started drinking really, really heavily. And the discussion became if and when the plane goes down, how will it be described in the press? And we finally decided, and there's a lot of argument of who would be first billed.
Uh-huh.
And we finally decided that if it
I think
came,
it's Gretzky.
Well,
it's Victoria.
No. We didn't.
Canada.
We didn't really know where I remember it being a different place in the fight. You're probably right.
Okay.
But my thing was, if it comes down in Canada, it's Gretzky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If it comes down in the United States, it's me.
Yeah.
And Alan Thicke said, in either place, I will be and others.
Exactly. Me too.
Alan said that?
Yes.
Yeah, me too.
Which made me, I mean, we've been through it, bro.
Yeah. Anyway, the gear didn't come down, but then they recycled it. They gained altitude and recycled the gear and it did come down. But that was a bit, you know, I mean, you could survive a gearless landing, but it's not easy.
Yeah. We had a scary flight once. Well, you weren't that scared. Remember the gear was locked and wouldn't come up?
Wouldn't come up, yeah.
And then we were with Lionel Richie.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, yeah.
Just because I want to hear it, David, can you give me a little Buzz Skaggs love look at you done for me just for a second?
Yeah.
Just because I love that song.
Only if
so
my
much.
Wife will sing it.
Do I know it?
I'll pass it to you.
Okay.
Do I know it?
Well, I know this part.
Is it a song?
Is it a song?
No, I mean, it's like, it's not just instrumental.
No.
I don't think I know this song.
Love.
Oh.
Look what you've done to me.
Love. Well, listen to you.
Look what you've done to me.
Never knew.
Never thought I'd love fall in love so easily.
Oh,
love. No, I got it now.
You wouldn't like me, would you? Leaving me to feel this way.
Yeah.
Oh, no, so I do know that song.
I like that song a lot.
You don't do that one very much.
No, I never do it.
Oh,
why?
I don't know.
You got to add that to your...
Let's talk about Cat.
No.
Yes.
We got to put...
There's not that much to talk about.
No, there is. I want to know, because I'm a huge Christmas person.
Okay, you're like me.
Love it.
It's like they say, I saw that meme on... social. It's like there's a new study that shows people who celebrate Christmas earlier are happier people.
The one thing is I do not believe in doing any of it until Thanksgiving, though.
Yeah, I was sort of raised that way too, but because we have a Christmas album out called Christmas Songs,
you can
stream it now, then that, like, it just sort of forces me. And also we have a 2.5-year-old now, so he's like everything. As soon as the Halloween thing was over, he sees Christmas stuff and he's like, sees Christmas stuff and he says, oh, he gets all excited. So I'm in the spirit already.
What are the, what songs did you do on this version?
Well, last year.
You know, I proved to myself that people only want to hear the classics. No, they don't want new songs.
By the way, can I tell you something? I'm very opinionated on this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Me too.
I don't even want to hear Rocking Around the Christmas Tree.
No.
Right.
I don't want any of it.
You
don't want to hear
Bing Crosby,
Chrissy Hynde singing Christmas songs or any. I don't want to hear Mariah Carey sing that, fucking song. I don't.
It's too much, right?
It's too much. I want I want to hear like the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
Well, that's funny you say that because we actually have a song. Basically, last year we thought we would just, you know, we should put out like a song for the holiday season. And then it turned into 6 songs. And then Concord Records put out the 6 songs. Loma Vista Records. And then they decided to complete the full, so it's like a completed album. So we did 7 more songs this year. And we did do Amazing Grace, which is not really...
With the Mormon Tabernacle Choir.
With the Mormon Tabernacle, which is, it's on this...
Was that sick? How was that recording then?
It was
so
beautiful.
Was this beyond belief?
Beyond. And I've worked with them before with Stevie Wonder and with Josh Groban and with Bocelli. It's always a complete religious experience.
They are
so
organized.
It's phenomenal.
And just, it was really, really lovely. So we put that song on the album Christmas Songs, even though it's not like a holiday song per se.
Ave Maria's on it?
Nope.
No.
Why did I feel like, did you do that
with Celine.
Oh,
it's
that was
so
Celine.
And Bocelli.
But Celine,
and Bublé.
I think Celine's is my favorite.
I hate songs that were like, they go, let's see here.
Y'all give me some of this.
Let's see. Hang all the stockings around the tree.
Boo.
It's going to be Christmas for you and me.
Vomit.
I mean,
vomit.
Yeah, I know. That I hate those songs.
Boo, vomit.
Nobody wants to hear a new Christmas song.
No.
But
now you know that the where people get all like, I love Oh Night Divine? Is that Holy Night?
Oh, Holy Night.
Oof, that's my favorite.
Celine
killed
it.
My other favorite one, which we didn't do, but.
No, we didn't.
We didn't do that. But Celine's version is.
Yeah.
And actually, Mariah's version is really
White Christmas
great too.
Is modernish, but I Silver Bells. I know that those aren't traditional.
Yeah.
But I'm a big Silver Bells
guy. Is Silver Bells not traditional?
No.
I feel like Silver Bells is traditional. It's just not overdone. Let me clear my throat. It's a little high. No.
I don't think
so. It's silver bells.
Yeah.
Silver bells.
Yeah.
Silver bells. It's Christmas time in the city. Ring-a-ling. And then you go, ring-a-ling.
Yes.
Hear them ring. Dave, sing.
Oh.
Soon it will be Christmas
Day. You
like how I just snapped at you?
And I like this.
City sidewalks, busy sidewalks.
Less bouncy, David, less bouncy.
Less bouncy. Da-da. I don't know the words.
I produce myself.
Okay, I'm sorry about that.
I work alone.
I love that. It was so fun to give David direction.
I wanted to chime in. I wanted people to hear your singing voice.
No, thanks. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm not on mic anyway.
Silver Bells is great. So I love it. I'm getting it immediately.
Do you guys?
You know? Do you remember the Ray Conniff singers, Foz?
Ray Conniff.
Conniff, that guy?
Ray Conniff. Well, they were great. Yeah.
They were great.
You're really corny, aren't you?
Yes.
You can't be too corny at Christmas.
No, you can't. That's the thing. Here's what you don't want to be at Christmas. Cool.
Bah humbug, like right. This guy.
That's
right here.
The fucking problem with all these modern day, they're cool. I don't want cool. I want corny.
Do you actually like Christmas?
I like Christmas.
I love to decorate, but even when I go crazy and decorate, you kind of are like, oh, that's so nice.
Yeah.
You don't get that excited.
I like it.
You don't actually get like super excited about anything.
No.
He doesn't, right? I mean, you've known him a long time.
Trying to think.
Airplanes.
Yeah, airplanes.
He gets super excited about, and he does get super excited about finding somebody, some new talent he loves.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I mean.
You do.
Yeah, the day I stumbled upon Celine, and again, preface, she was already famous in Quebec, so it's not like I discovered her.
You were excited about me for a long time.
Oh, I still am. But to hear, a great voice is exciting.
Yeah.
What was give me the Celine, I have this vision like, she was like at a state fair.
Yeah, she was.
Was she? Okay, well, it was a
Sunday afternoon picnic in the rain. Families running, kids running all over the place. She was up there singing I Will Survive. And she couldn't speak any English, so it was just all phonetic. But she was like killing that. I was just like—
unreal.
I was just staring at the stage and I was like looking around. I was going, do you people that are all talking at your picnic tables, do you know what you're seeing here? This was in Quebec.
Right.
And I talked to her afterwards.
But it was all her family. They've heard her a million times, right? So they were just—
well, no, it was open to the public.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, yeah. And then I helped bring her down to LA and did her first record.
What what about—
Michael Bublé.
It was just the music. It was just the voice, the tone.
The voice.
And the range.
The voice.
But the way, nobody has her—
she can do Celine. Watch this.
No, I can't.
Yes, you can.
I can't.
Yes, you can.
I do like a very cartoon version of—
come on.
It takes
now.
Me a second to get into it.
But,
I know.
For all those times you stood for me, for all the truth that you made me see, for all the joy you brought to my life, for all the wrongs that you made right, for every dream you made come true, for all the love I found in you.
Even with that last bit.
No.
You did too late. You got to do it three times.
For all the love I found in you.
No.
Yeah.
Amazing. it's so good.
Is that good?
It's okay.
It's so good.
It's really
good. And she doesn't actually do anybody else.
I love when she goes, maybe I don't know that. You know, she does that. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah. So fucking, I could do this all night. and the other thing we have to talk about is your production on Whitney's, on I Always Love You.
That whole album is so good.
Yeah.
But you're among your contributions is the famous break at the beginning, right?
We call Boom and I.
Boom and I? Tell me about this.
Because it's boom. And I.
A boom and I.
Boom and I.
Boom and I.
Boom and I. Anita Whitaker came up with that for me. She said, that Boom and I moment.
That's
boom
the great,
and I.
The Boom and I
and
moment.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it was a simple little country song. And I've always tried in my record making to create those moments where I would imagine the audience would jump up in their feet in the middle of the song. And I didn't figure that. I mean, it didn't happen very often, but when it did, like in that or All by Myself with Celine, where she hits the high note. And Boom and I was probably the greatest example of that.
I never heard that actually.
No, Boom and I?
Cute.
Yeah. Well, there's our title for this episode.
Boom and I.
Boom and I. Fuck yeah, man. So sick. All by Myself is
who sang?
Celine. Well, it was originally Eric Carmen.
Oh.
Great song.
Yeah.
And then I took it and reimagined it.
Never needed anyone.
And making love was just for fun.
Those days.
But it's got an extremely high note in it.
So crazy.
Like,
high.
It's so high.
I'm still working on that high note.
Yeah. But it's so powerful. It's so effective.
What's the highest note you've ever heard a human being sing? It's got to be Mariah Carey.
Probably Mariah. Or no, well, Minnie Riperton. Probably.
Oh, Minnie Riperton.
Yeah, Minnie Riperton. But, you know, it's.
But not in like a belt.
But once you get up there, it's just a squeak.
It sounds weird.
It's not a talent.
It sounds weird, right?
Can you sing up there, babe?
No. I used to be able to do whistle tones before.
No, I can't. You can't do it at all?
No, my voice is too healthy now.
Oh.
My voice was unhealthy for a long time, and I was able to do like the sort of airy whistle tone. Yeah. I can't do it anymore.
I saw Kenny Loggins yesterday.
Oh. Love him.
We did a thing for Santa Barbara Charities, and I told him I was going to be seeing you. He loves you.
You got a great Kenny Loggins story.
I do?
Well, isn't that the story about how he said
she's going to get Kenny's mixed up. Oh. It's Kenny Rogers.
Oh, sorry.
I like that she's going to get Kenny's. She's going to get the Kenny.
All the Kennys. Kenny G, Kenny Rogers, Kenny Loggins. Worked for them all.
You
worked for
them all.
Kenny G's your friend.
Kenny G's my buddy.
Yeah.
Love
he's
Kenny.
He's great.
Speaking of a guy who loves airplanes.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What? Tell me the Kenny Rogers story. I'm down for Kenny Rogers.
Well, it just goes back to, we do this in our show. We have great banter in our show together because we believe it or not, have
can't
great
you
chemistry.
Tell?
Yeah.
So I was producing Kenny Rogers and Chicago at the same time. And this song was number one right now that Peter and I wrote.
Mm-hmm. Da 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 da. Right? Oh.
Yeah.
But it needs a little time away. I heard her say, from each other.
So that song was number one, and I was producing Kenny at the time. I was doing this song with Kenny.
We've got tonight.
Oh, good one. We've got tomorrow. Who needs tomorrow?
Anyway, and so that was a big hit. So me and Kenny were.
Wait, is that Bob Seger?
Yes, but we covered it as a duet with Sheena Easton and Kenny Rogers, and it was a big hit.
Yes.
Anyway, so he says, "Why don't you boys write me one of those Chicago songs, man? I'd love to have one of those. They're great." And Kenny was a wonderful guy. Did you know him at all?
No.
He was an amazing character. You know, we'd go to McDonald's on breaks. He'd drive his little Ford Geo or Chevy Geo or whatever, and just pull up. I said, Kenny, aren't you worried you're going to get mobbed? He says, I don't care. I love people. You know, and he would just go, no security. And, you know, he was massively huge.
Yeah, yes.
Arena tours all over the world.
Kenny Rogers, in the 70s and 80s, you kidding me?
Anyway, so Peter Cetera and I got excited. We said, yeah, we'll write you a song. So we wrote him a song. And we played it for him.
And you're like, this is a hit.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Hello.
Yep. You're the meaning in my life. You're the inspiration.
So that's the song we wrote for Kenny Rogers. And we played it for Kenny. He said, boys, I appreciate it, but I don't think that's a hit. So we did it with Chicago instead. But you know what? You can't be right all the time.
It
wasn't right for him.
I wondered what it was.
It wasn't right for him. And probably wasn't.
Maybe it was, and it might not have been a hit with him.
But it's funny, though, that he said, I want a Chicago hit.
Yeah.
Like, a Chicago-esque song.
And to that point,
gave it to Chicago.
Over the years, I've had so many people, you know, back in the day that call me to produce them. And they'd say, yeah, we really want you to produce my artist, but we don't really want that David Foster sound. It's like, what? That's all I know.
That's such a weird
strange thing to say, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is very odd.
Yeah.
I'm trying to, is there anything else we need to cover?
You know what I had to talk about a little bit?
Yes.
No, you don't need to.
No, I just want to talk about your series Smash on NBC.
Oh, I have a lot of thoughts about that.
Yeah, I know you do because we've talked about it before.
It's like 100 years ago.
Well, do you think these songs were 300 years ago?
If that's 100 years ago, the songs were 300 years ago.
300,
you're right.
Exactly.
I know he's just being sweet. He's like,
I'm not.
We're talking too much about me. I don't care.
No, I'm not because I was such a fan of that show, as you know. No lie, we weren't dating then. You were married.
It's true. You texted me,
and I was like, "God, this show is amazing!" And the fact that
you were proud of me,
yeah, I was. And the fact that it only got two seasons was so crazy. Spielberg produced.
But I will say this about Smash because I was on that network at the same time.
Oh, that's right.
Never in the history of the entertainment business has a network tried harder.
I know
than on that show.
Really?
Pretty wild.
Oh my dude! They made every other show.
Yeah.
Stop shooting. and do a musical.
Yeah.
To promote the show. It's famous. It's on YouTube right now.
It was Bob Greenblatt's first year with NBC, and he was like, this is going to be my baby.
What was the song that we did that we all had to, the Parks and Rec cast were singing and dancing, the 30 Rock cast was singing, The Office. And
Let Me Be Your Star?
And it was all for
that is really wild.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, yeah. No, you had the full power of everything.
They blew it up. I remember the Super Bowl that year. It was like every other commercial was for Smash. But sometimes even when you throw the
kitchen sink
at it, it just doesn't. I mean, it did well for the first.
It must have been too niche, I guess. Too niche, you know, that not enough people care about Broadway. I don't know.
You were great in it.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. They both were, her and Megan, Angelica Houston.
Deborah Messing. Yeah, it was a really good cast.
It was awesome. I mean, TV musicals are sick. I love musicals, period.
They don't work though on TV.
I wonder why.
I know. I don't know.
Have you done one of the live ones? I feel like one of the NBC.
I haven't.
Have you not done that? Because the only good one that I saw was Sound of Music.
Just don't have a very good agent, maybe.
Sound of Music was one of the first.
I can name five I saw that I didn't like.
You mean that one? That one was with Carrie Underwood. She played.
Was it? I know. Yeah. And she got. I thought it was good.
Oh, that's. Yeah. I mean, listen. For me, no one is better than Julie Andrews. So.
Well. I mean, that goes without saying.
Yeah.
Mm. But that was great. What else? Okay.
No, I think that it's nice they do those shows because it's just like, it just keeps that genre and that world alive. So I appreciate that they do them. And families love it. It's like great family watching.
It's a good segue to just say that I'm in Chicago right now with my musical Betty Boop.
Yes.
And we open this Sunday night in Chicago.
No, wait, really?
Yes.
No way.
This has nothing to do with me, but David's show is opening and— I'm going to go see it on, it's opening for previews.
On the 19th, it opens really on December 6th.
So I will be there December
6th. In Chicago.
So you did the score.
Yeah.
Who did the book?
So beautiful.
A guy named Bob Martin, who's a wonderful writer. His last conquest was a show called The Prom, which did very well.
Yeah.
And Jerry Mitchell's directing, who's amazing. And Susan Birkenhead did the lyrics, and she's a real great lyricist. So it's a great team. We have David Rockwell doing the sets. We have Tony Winters doing it. It's a great crew. It's a cast and crew of 100 people there right now in Chicago. I came here just for this weekend.
Amazing.
And I'll be going back.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm glad that you did. This was so much fun.
It was.
We could go.
I mean, we got to go again.
I mean, my favorite thing is the picture of you and I drinking kamikazes out of the Stanley Cup. I have that photo.
Oh, yeah. I miss those good days. You know, he doesn't drink.
You don't miss them.
Me neither. But how about what that it's a kamikaze? Do they even make that drink
anymore?
I've
never even heard of that drink.
I don't know.
It's so 1985.
How long have you not drank for?
31
years? Oh, wow.
Years?
You both don't drink.
31 years?
Well, I never drank.
So 1990.
Well, you clearly did drink if you were drinking.
Well, I mean, I drank a little bit, but not like wasted on the lawn of the Parliament buildings in Victoria.
Were you at his bachelor party before he got married to Linda?
I was not.
Oh, because I heard that one was a wild time.
Ed Snyder saved me.
Oh, God.
Ed.
Let's not talk about it.
So many friends. Yeah, me passed out on the lawn of—
Oh, my God.
Of the Parliament buildings of Victoria the night after our event.
Oh, my God.
It's a career highlight.
You guys
It was
crazy.
In the paper. They took a picture of me in the paper.
Stop it. Yeah.
6 a.m. sleeping on
You're
the lawn.
You're kidding me. Is this real?
That may or may not be true.
No, it's real. It's real.
That's amazing. I mean, it's not
but
amazing.
But your wife knows about it. I'm not telling anything out of school,
knows,
right?
Please.
It was in the paper, for God's sakes.
Young,
wild, and free.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, look, Rob Lowe and his contemporaries then.
I did a lot of stupid stuff, too.
But they owned the world. They owned it. They were like the Rat Pack. They were the Sinatra and the Dean Martin. They owned it.
Wow.
They could, like, they were riding as high as you could high, and then you continued.
And David wrote the theme.
Higher and higher.
Boom and I. I am feeling the Christmas spirit based on that. So I hope you check out David and Catherine's Christmas songs for the holidays. It's out right now. Amazing music. And I like it's traditional. We're not doing rock around the clock, rock around the Christmas tree. We're not doing that thing. Not here. Not David. Not Catherine. Not me. It's not happening. Ring, ring. What's that? Ooh, it's the lowdown line.
Hello, you've reached literally in our lowdown line where you can get the lowdown on all things about me, Rob Lowe. 323 570-4551. So have at it. Here's the beep.
Hi, Rob Lowe. My name is Michelle, and I live in Seattle, and I really love your podcast. I just listened to the episode with your son, John Owen. My son is named Oscar, and I've noticed a lot of people have pets with the same name. Why do you think it's such a popular name for pets? And how did you name your dog Oscar? Thanks.
Well, first of all, it's a way better name for a person. And I love that you've named your son Oscar because it's such a, it's an iconic name. Let's face it. It just is. There's, of course, the Oscar. I want to thank my team and I want to thank my mother and my director. I mean, it's the Oscar. Come on, right? How great is that? And it's your way of having an Oscar. And then, of course, there's, you know, Oscar of the Odd Couple. I don't know if you're aware of that, that character, very famous. It's just a good name, man. It's a good, it has zhuzh, that has character, has, you know what it is? I'll tell you what it is. Has personality. It's a solid name with personality. And that's what we want from our pets and our people. So give your Oscar a big hug and I will give my Oscar a big hug from you. All right, guys and gals, thank you so much for listening.
You've been listening to Literally with Rob Lowe, produced by me, Nick Liao, with help from associate producer Sarah Begar. Research by Alyssa Grawl, editing by Jerron Ferguson. Engineering and mixing by Rich Garcia. Our executive producers are Rob Lowe for Low Profile, Adam Sachs, Jeff Ross, and myself for Team Coco, and Colin Anderson for Stitcher. Booking by Deirdre Dodd, music by Devin Bryant. Special thanks to Hidden City Studios. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time on Literally with Rob Lowe.